Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Zamriwa Gabaza, and for today, we are getting into some of the latest economic data to have come out recently, such as the unemployment figures, as well as some of the third quarter 2021 GDP prospects, we might be looking to, and to help us to unpack where the economy has gone and could be going. We are joined by Thanda Sithole, who is a senior economist over at Banking Group FNB. Thanda, greetings to you today.
Greetings, Modiwa, and greetings to your listeners.
Now, thank you so much. Thank you so much for being with us. I think, before we perhaps look at the GDP side of things, because, we're trying to, perhaps look at where we could be going. Maybe we can just look at, where we've been. How would you characterize, the year that's been 2021, at least up until this point?
Modiwa, we've seen the severe impact of the pandemic, particularly in the second quarter of last year, as a result of stringent lockdown by government to try and cap the spread of the coronavirus. But since then, we've seen some improvement in economic activity as lockdowns were continuously eased. So we are currently sitting in an environment where growth has recovered, but not completely. We're still below some pre-pandemic levels.
Some of the numbers that have been coming out recently, Stats SA saying that, there's been some growth. And I understand that this is the fourth quarter, that we've been seeing some consecutive quarters of growth. How good is that, right? Is that us really growing, or is that us just simply trying to get back to where we were, before the pandemic came into effect?
Sure, cool. So the quarter-on-quarter growth momentum, I think, is positive. We are gradually gravitating towards pre-pandemic levels, but we are not there yet. So I think those four quarters of positive growth are positive in that perspective. But you also have to look at the long-term the growth trend. For instance, if you look at year-on-year, so you're comparing this year and last year in terms of GDP growth, the economy in the second quarter grew by about 19.3%. But if you exclude the pandemic year and you just look at the second quarter of 2019, you compare it to the second quarter of this year to try and see whether the economy is recovering at a faster pace, you will see that we are still 1.2% below the second quarter of 2019. So there is some recovery, but it remains incomplete. But the quarter-on-quarter growth movements are positive and are an indication that we are gradually gravitating towards pre-pandemic levels.
And maybe you can give us a little bit of color just around what some of the drivers have been, for whatever positive growth is happening right now, what's actually been driving it, because we are existing in an environment where, even though it's been four consecutive, positive quarters, there's still some industries and some sectors that are not yet back to where, they're meant to be. I'm thinking of big ones like tourism, 8 or 9% of GDP. I'm thinking, I don't think manufacturing has gotten back to, where it was before, all of those things. So whatever positivity is there, what's actually driving it?
Yeah, sure. So you're right, Modiwa. Most of the sectors haven't recovered to their pre-pandemic levels, except the agricultural sector, which was not severely impacted by the lockdown regulations, as it was characterized as an essential services sector. So that sector has held up well since the fourth quarter of 2019, but other sectors have not done very well. But to answer your question in terms of what's driving this growth, obviously, the easing of restrictions is the first thing that is driving growth, because you remember this is a health crisis, right? And the lockdown measures to try and cap the spread of the coronavirus basically limit economic activity. So as you ease lockdown restrictions, the economy then begins to take off. But it's gradual because we've seen the levels of unemployment are also lagging. If you look at employment figures year to date, you will see that even if we saw some year-on-year employment growth in the second quarter, we are still 1.4 million worse in terms of employment. If you compare employment levels of the second quarter of this year to employment levels of the second quarter of 2019. So it's basically the easing of restrictions. But if you just look at the sectors, particularly with respect to the recent outcome, yesterday's GDP outcome, you would see that the biggest driver of growth there was the transportation sector. And according to States SA, they mentioned that it's mainly land transportation as well as communication services. So you would assume that land transportation refers to transportation of goods by land. But also we've seen the strong growth in terms of personal services sector, also driving growth, and the agricultural sector, and specifically with agricultural sector, is benefiting from favorable weather conditions. So there has been some increase in field crop production, as well as horticulture and animal production. So it's mainly those three sectors that have recently contributed to the 1.2% GDP growth in the second quarter. And on the negative side, we're still having manufacturing contributing negatively to GDP growth, as well as the financial intermediation, insurance, real estate, and business services sector. But also the construction sector still remains very weak and also contracted in the second quarter of this year.
You know, as you're talking, I'm actually just trying to work through, you know, logically in my head, you know, the different factors that you're mentioning. And I guess it does make sense because despite the fact that people were locked down and the fact that people weren't going to work as much as they were, you know, it doesn't mean that we stopped eating, you know. So so I can definitely see that agriculture would have, you know, gone, you know, the way that it did. And communication services, it makes sense. I mean, you and I right now are, you know, communicating remotely, which I guess owing to the demand that's come out of that particular sector. But the one that's curious to me is the transport one, right? I do understand the bit around transportation of goods and services. And I can imagine that the issue of e-commerce also comes in. People buy more stuff online, etc. But I would have thought that transport as a whole would have been down simply because people weren't commuting as much. And then secondly, people aren't, you know, traveling, just moving. Restrictions around just interprovincial travel, for example, people not being allowed to come into South Africa, leave South Africa, all of these different factors. I would have thought it would have been a net negative. So it is interesting to hear that transport was, you know, was a positive driver.
Yeah, sure. So as I mentioned, you would assume when CSA says it's the land transportation that contributed to growth, you then have to assume that it's transportation of goods as opposed to passengers. You are correct 100% that there's not a lot of movement in terms of passengers, especially given the fact that employment levels are still low, but also generally people are voluntarily staying at home because they're trying to stay away from the risk of catching the coronavirus. So if you look at transportation of passengers year to date, it's still poor compared to the transportation of goods. So those are the two dynamics there. It's mainly the transportation of goods. And for me, that makes sense because you still need to transport goods to various sectors of the economy, but also you still need to transport goods for regional trade as well. We've seen our exports have done incredibly well, particularly in the second quarter. We've got a significant trade surplus year to date. So it's mainly those dynamics that are playing into the land transportation. I think I would assume that the transportation of goods by air, I think those ones are also still very, very, very weak.
Now, as we sort of march on forward, it is interesting, you know, that when you listen to some people, they characterize where we are right now as us being in a post-pandemic world, right? You know, whereas some people still feel like we are in it, we're still in it, we're not, it hasn't gone away. But for many people out there, we are in a post-pandemic world. And we do have to accept that, you know, compared to last year, things are, you know, opening, you know, things are opening up. So there is some positive momentum from that side. So when it comes to the different sectors that you guys are keeping an eye on, you know, what do you anticipate to be some of the next, you know, pieces that start to recover? Because I think I would say tourism is still down the line. It's coming, but it's still down the line. So just from what you can see, the, you know, I guess the momentum that's there. I hear that manufacturing is on the up, but I'm not sure. You know, so from you, what do you sort of see as being okay? You know, as we go, we've already said that transport of goods is, you know, is good. Communications is good, and then yeah, some of those things are already good. What's next?
Yeah. Sure. Maybe just to start with the first part of your comment, Mudiwa. I think we do generally as human beings want to feel that we are out of the pandemic. But I think the reality is that we are still not out of the pandemic, particularly because we know that there is still a fourth wave that is projected before year end. But also the issue of vaccine hesitancy is a big issue. And I think if we increase the vaccination rate, I think we will then be able to say at least we are fastly getting out of the pandemic. But I don't think we are in the post pandemic yet. We are still within the pandemic, and forecasting within the pandemic has become really difficult. So to answer your question in terms of which sectors are going to drive growth going forward, we maintain our view that it's mainly the primary sector and largely the production sector of the economy that is going to drive growth. So agriculture will continue to drive growth because the weather conditions remain favorable, but also there is some improvement in both domestic and external demand. So agriculture is going to benefit from that perspective, and therefore is going to be the one sector that is going to drive growth going forward. But also you know that commodity prices remain elevated because of global demand rising. So South Africa being a commodity exporting country will definitely benefit. So the mining sector is expected to drive growth. We've got an issue with monthly mining data, which is not yet out for June. It's been delayed. Apparently there are issues at Department of Mineral Resources and Energy. But our view is that the mining sector is still going to be the driver of growth going forward. And to some extent, the manufacturing sector as well should benefit from the global global economic recovery. But we've got our own idiosyncratic risk over and above the pandemic risk that is facing the entire world. We've got issues of electricity supply disruptions that are negative for growth. And we've got inefficiencies at ports. We've got rising cost of doing business. We've got many issues that are curtailing production in such a way that even if the global economy recovers, the extent to which we benefit from that could be limited because of those idiosyncratic risks.
Now, there's always so much to think about, you know, when one thinks about the economy, and it's something that we talk about quite a lot on this platform, to say that you can never look at one economic factor or indicator in isolation. Like everything sort of feeds into, you know, something else, and there's always a knock-on effect of some sort, you know, to all of these things. So when it comes to that, one of the things that you mentioned earlier on was the issue of vaccine hesitancy, right? Because, you know, vaccinations have become a big thing. And I've been of the view that in the global economy, vaccinations or the rate at which we vaccinate our populations are going to, I guess, entrench whatever disparities already exist in the global economy, right? If you were a third world country and you find it hard to get to herd immunity, then the rate at which you recover, get back to 80-90% capacity utilization, you know, takes longer. And whilst that's happening, some other countries, probably the more developed ones that are able to reach herd immunity, they get there faster. And then, you know, they get there faster and then they start recovering and producing and trading, etc. And I think that, you know, works to, I guess, entrench whatever disparities were already existing, either making them worse, better, etc. So I wanted to maybe get a sense from you when it comes to the issue of vaccinations, because I'm sure you guys have your models and all of that. You know, how big is this factor of vaccination, you know, that when you guys are looking and thinking about it?
Yeah. Thanks, Motiwa. So it's a big factor. It's a big factor. And I think the IMF speaks about it as well in their latest World Economic Outlook report. It's an issue that we've got developed economies running ahead in terms of vaccinations, while developing and emerging markets are falling behind. I think that will mean that we are still within the pandemic environment, and even if the developed countries are ahead of us, it will mean that we have not yet gotten control of the pandemic. You remember that economies are interlinked. So the fact that other countries are falling behind in terms of vaccination cannot be a celebration by developed countries when they run ahead of vaccination. So it's a big risk, and I think the better emerging and developing countries accelerate their vaccination rate, the more they accelerate their vaccination rate, the better for the global economy as a whole.
Now, I certainly agree with what you're saying. It's something that certainly needs to be done. But as we sort of draw to a close of this discussion, there are about two things that I'm quite curious about. The first one is just the rebasement that we're talking about from Stats SA. We hear that there's been a revision of figures. You know, what does this mean? What is it about? You know, does it mean that, Stats SA hasn't been able, you know, to calculate these things all these years? Are they lying to us? What does it actually mean?
Yeah, no. So it's a global practice, Modiwa, for economies to always just keep on improving their methodology in terms of collecting data, and to try and see if there are additional sources of economic activity that were not previously captured. So it's not something new. We've done it before, and it's practiced across the global economy. But what it means for us is that we've seen that if you look at GDP, the previous one and the revised one in 2015, it was about 9.2% higher. So the revised figures show that the economic size or the economic pie is actually bigger than what was projected by the previous GDP figures. But in terms of growth, it does not really change anything. The growth trajectory is still showing a weak economic growth for South Africa, especially post 2009 recession. But if you look at it in terms of the level of GDP per capita, obviously with the increase of the economic pie or the economic size, in terms of GDP per capita, it's now higher compared to the previous GDP figures or on level terms. But in terms of growth, we are still growing at a negative rate. But another thing that it also doesn't change is the structural health of the economy. So the revised figures do not mean anything for the structural health of the economy. If you look at the potential GDP estimate, they are still around 1% or below currently. And that has come down from around 3.5% to 4% before the 2009 recession. So you can see that potential GDP has significantly moderated over the years. And that means that the structural health of the economy remains very weak, and it requires economic reforms to lifted, and for the economy to be on a sustainably higher growth path.
No. I think that helps us to, you know, get a picture of what, you know, all of that actually means, and the reason why, you know, that practice is done, because there is an improvement in the way that data is collected and some of the methodology that's being used. Now, usually when we talk to economists, we always end off our discussions, you know, with an outlook, you know, about GDP and all of these things, asking to look into the crystal ball and all of that. But for today, rather than, you know, asking about GDP per se, I want to maybe zoom in on unemployment, because it is something that we got recent figures on, and you did, touch on it, you know, quite extensively earlier on in the discussion. So given where we are right now, you know, where do you sort of see employment going? Because it's quite scary to think about the fact that at least on a real unemployment basis, that we are sitting at nearly one in every two people not being employed in South Africa. Very scary state of affairs, you know. So maybe you could, you know, maybe give us some insight just, you know, where you see the labor market or just employment going, you know, moving forward.
Yeah. Sure. So thanks, Modibo. Yeah. So the labor market remains very weak. So there's still a slack in the labor market. If you look at the quarter one QLFS data, quarter labor force survey data that was published by SSA, it showed that unemployment rate is sitting at around 34.4% from 32.6% in the first quarter. And employment declined by about 54,000 jobs on a quarter on quarter basis. There was some sharp increase on a year-on-year basis, but that's because of the lower base of last year. Remember that last year in quarter two, employment declined, but also unemployment around that time declined because people were restricted in terms of going out and actively looking for work. So that is why then you saw that huge jump in both unemployment and employment in the second quarter. But overall, there's still a slack in the labor market, and we expect employment recovery to significantly lag behind economic growth recovery because we are still in an uncertain environment. Business are unable to commit to long-term employment with workers because there's still a lot of uncertainty with the pandemic and other issues that I've mentioned in terms of the domestic factors. So employment is going to remain weak. If you look at the employment, employment GDP elasticity, which is the relationship between employment and GDP. If you try to look at it now compared to what it was around the early 1970s, we are sitting with employment GDP elasticity of below 0.5% now, compared to above 1% around the 1970s. So that means that for every 1% increase in GDP growth, employment increases by less than 1%. And that means that for us to grow, to create more jobs on a sustainable basis, we'll need to grow GDP robustly going forward on a sustainable basis and for a longer term.
And maybe as a follow-up to what you've just said, you know, that elasticity, it's you know, I think that's something that certainly does need to be improved. But as a quick follow-up, we are in the third quarter right now, and they usually say that the first three quarters of a year, you know, will pretty much tell you what the year, you know, actually means. So your thoughts just around the third quarter GDP?
Yeah. So there are two critical events that happened in the third quarter, which is the current quarter. So in July, firstly, we had the unrest that started in KwaZulu-Natal and then also propagated to some parts of Gauteng. That would have severely impacted economic activity. Two, we also had level four lockdown restrictions. Although it wasn't as severe as last year, because last year, the level four lockdown of last year was across most sectors of the economy. This year, it wasn't across most sectors of the economy. Some sectors of the economy could operate, except the non-essential establishments, such as your bar, restaurants, and tourism. So those two events would have impacted economic growth for the third quarter, and we think that the outcome for the third quarter is going to be very poor. But overall, for the year, we think that the growth could rebound to around 4.1% from a contraction of 6.4% last year. I think the recent numbers that were an upside surprise both to us and consensus mean that there is an upside risk to that 4.1% that we are penciling in for this year.
So it's been us. We're talking to Thanda Sithole, who is a senior economist over at FNB. You know, quite a wide-ranging discussion, just talking about two particular factors, that is GDP at the moment and, you know, the state of employment in the economy. And he was talking about the fact that the economy is growing, but it's off of a low base. And there have been a couple of sectors that have, you know, understandably, you know, done well, you know, things such as agriculture. agriculture, things such as the communication sector, as well as, you know, land transportation, especially for goods. But there are sectors, you know, because of lockdowns, because of all the restrictions, such as passenger travel, such as manufacturing, such as tourism, you know, that are still, you know, lagging behind where they were, you know, previously. So just giving us that caveat to say that when you look at some of these GDP figures, you know, just have some of that context in mind. And it's sometimes better to have a comparison with 2019 as opposed to 2020, because it sort of shows you really, you know, where we were because of the disaster that was 2020. And also just talking about, you know, where we are in terms of employment. And at the moment, I think we have, they're saying that we're closer to 43-44% on the real unemployment side. But he's, you know, he's saying that, you know, there is some hope, but he's just highlighting the elasticity to say that the rate of GDP growth is likely to go up faster than the rate of, you know, the rate at which people get employed in the economy. So that's been it. Tanda, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much, Motiva. Thanks for having me.
This is Motiva's Take.
Very fascinating discussion just around what's going on in the economy, around GDP and, you know, the unemployment figures that we are, you know, just seeing out there. And I think going forward, it will be good and interesting to see how the different sectors actually play catch up and what the balance will be. Let's say a year from now, one of the big things that does need to happen is, you know, to close the gap, you know, between, you know, those elasticity figures that you know, Tanda was, you know, giving to us earlier on, right? Just the fact that the rate of employment is coming in at a slower pace than GDP growth, you know, hopefully that will be fixed as you know, some of the other sectors such as manufacturing, you know, such as passenger transport, such as tourism, you know, come back online a little bit better, a little bit more, and as some of the easing of restrictions is done, you know, over time. But going forward, one of the other curiosities that, you know, I have, and I'm sure, you know, it's something that will be an area of study in the fraternity, will be the potential impact of what the fourth wave is going to be like. Because the third wave so far, we sort of talk about being on the tail end of it, but it doesn't seem to be something that's going away. What's going to be the lasting impact of the third wave? And when we get into the fourth wave, what's going to, how is that going to impact things like GDP, things like employment? Because it will be the first wave where we're really talking about a full-on vaccination effort that would, you know, would have been in place, because the vaccination effort in South Africa, you know, sort of began, you know, just as the third wave had already, you know, started to show itself, you know, in the world. So this one will be interesting to see how all of that happens, because it might start to give us a little bit of an indication just around what the impact of vaccines or vaccinating will be when it comes to opening up the economy. And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.